So I thought to take the topics that we're learning in the Kollel and introduce them, obviously, in a more practical way. We're not going to discuss all the nuances of the Shach and Taz that we do in the Kollel, but introduce them with a few practical questions. And I asked Rav Shor to share with you just simply the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in Simin Tzadi Hei and Tzadi Vav. And I'll introduce four practical cases, and then we'll see how the basic sugya, a sugya that most find quite difficult. I remember the first time that I was introduced to this topic, I found it quite difficult. We'll try to make it as relatable as possible. And Rav Simcha, is there a way that people will be able to ask questions? I would.
Normally, I guess if people can post in the chat, that would be the best way to ask the question.
Okay, great. I have the chat in front of me, so every once in a while, I'll check. Okay, let's jump straight into it. What happens if you've cooked pasta in a fleishige pot? What's the halacha about mixing it with cheese? Are you allowed to mix the pasta with cheese? Now, we're not talking about, of course, mixing cheese in a fleishige pot. That's for sure asur. That would be cooking meat and milk together. But what about mixing pasta that was cooked in a fleishige pot with cheese? That's question number one. Question number two, if you placed hot pasta on a cold dish for a few moments, enough that the effects of the dish and the pasta could interact, and then you mixed it with cheese, could you eat the pasta and the cheese? Question number three. If you have a Ben Yomo knife, which means a knife that was used with hot meat within the last 24 hours, and you cut an onion and then cooked it, that onion with milk of the food, what's the status of the food? And number four, our fourth question, if a person has a non-Ben Yomo knife, in other words, a knife that has not been used for 24 hours, but was cooked with onions and then cooked with milchig food, what's the halacha? So these four questions, in many ways, if we get the background behind these four questions in the next 40 minutes, then we will be able to deal with most kashrus questions that come up in a kitchen. If we could get clarity about these four dinim, then we could apply it in many, many, many instances. Now, the confusing part of Hilchos Kashrus is something that my wife said when she learned Hilchos Kashrus, it was not and not. She understood everything until she got to not bar not. And that's what we're going to discuss today, not bar not. We will describe it. If there's anything that's not clear about it, please indicate to me on the chat. And what I'm going to do is going to describe the rule of Shmuel in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Maseches Kun. The Gemara describes Dogim She'olu B'Ka'ara. We have fish that came onto a dish. So here is the dish. Here is the fish. So you have Dogim She'olu B'Ka'ara. If you have fish that came onto a hot dish, says the Gemara, according to the opinion we follow, mutter la'achlam bekutach, one is allowed to eat that with milchiks. So here is our first halacha. It is codified in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at the source sheet that Rav Shor shared with you. The halacha is dogim shen simin sadi hay. Sif Aleph, dogim shenispashu shenitzru b'kder shabasa rechutza yafa. If it has been even cooked, mutter l'achlam b'kutach, one is allowed to eat them with milchiks. With milchiks, it's going to be permissible. So here we have a halacha that clearly applies the rule of not bar not. Again, not bar not is as follows. You have a dish which has the taste of fleishiks inside. You take fish and you put it on top of it. The taste of the fleishiks went into the dish. That's one nesinas tam. And from the dish, this feels like Dr. Seuss, into the fish, that's a second nesinas tam. Nat barnat is mutar la'achlan bikutach. One would be allowed to eat it with milchiks. And so therefore, we have our first rule. Our first rule is that if you have pasta, and this everybody is going to agree with, if you have pasta and the pasta is put when hot onto a dish, and then that pasta was inadvertently mixed with milchiks, so then in such a case, everybody would agree that it is kosher limahadrin. It is entirely kosher. Why? Because Rav teaches us that the transfer of taste is so weak when we're talking about going from meat that went into a dish, the meat went into the dish, then from the dish into the fish, that that fish would then give off taste into cheese. That, the Gemara says, is impossible. Conceptually, there are two ways to look at it. You could say that there's no taste of milk, of fleishiks whatsoever in the fish, or you could say it's weak enough that it would not have significant effect into the meat that would be negligible in the meat. The Nafkamina, the Prima Gadim, says, as chametz b'pesach. Chametz b'pesach, which is asar b'mashuhu, so then, in such a case, would we have chametz transferred into the fish and then going into the dish? Is that food going to be permissible on Pesach? Either way, conceptually, whichever way you look at it, this is the bottom line, and everybody agrees with that halacha. Where things get absolutely fascinating is that we just described bidi avad, that it happened. It happened that the food got put into the milchiks. Are you allowed to do that lechatchila? So, the Shach writes that if you take a look at the language of the Shulchan Aruch, the language of the Shulchan Aruch that we saw in our short source sheets was bidi avad. It happened. How do we see that? Because the words, opening words of the Mechaber were dogam shenizbashlu. They had been cooked. Oshenitzlu, or they were roasted, biktera shalbasa. So then in that case, the halacha is that if it's been something that happened bidiyavad, that it had been already cooked in the dish, the fish already was cooked in the dish, so then, bidi avad, you'd be allowed to eat it with milchiks. But can you, lichatchila, take pasta, put the pasta on the dish with the awareness that you're going to mix it with milchiks? So here, the Shach claims that even according to the Mechaber, it would be asur. This din of the Shulchan Aruch is only if you did it bidiyavad. You already put it on the dish. But lechatchila, to intend to do it, that in such a case is going to be aser. Interestingly, parenthetically, the Prima Gadim suggests, just for a moment of lamdus, that it should be aser because of the problem ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. And that would be dependent conceptually of whether we say that by nat bar nat, there's any tam that's left, then you would have a problem of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. But if you say that by nat bar nat, there's nothing left, so then there wouldn't even be a problem of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. However you deal with that issue, let's get back to the practical question over here. What comes out now is a fascinating practical question where Chacham Avadya Yosef suggested a leniency that most did not accept. Chacham Avadia said that there is no other proof to prohibit cooking pasta with the intention to eat, to put it in milchix, except for a diuk from the Shach, that the Shach deduced that the Gemara had used the words dogim she'alu bekara, that bidiyavad, the fish was put on the dish, that the Shulchan Aruch said dogim she'nispashlu, that bidiyavad, it happened that it was cooked in a fleishigapat. And the Shach argued that because it says bidiyavad, then in such a case, the halacha would be that one cannot mix it with milchix. But Rav Chacham Avadya Zatzal says, there's no great rabbinic Sephardic leader who had suggested that the halacha is that one cannot eat a food that you intentionally cooked to mix with milchix. And therefore, there are some Sfaradim today who follow the psak of Chacham Avadya, who would say that you're allowed to even cook the pasta, to mix it with the cheese, and that would be permissible. The question that was asked, doesn't mutar l'achlam kutach sound lichatchila? Yes, it would be lichatchila once it's been already cooked in our case, the pasta cooked in the fleishige dish. But could one take pasta? Honey, what's for supper? And the husband who's doing the cooking, he says, we're going to make pasta. We're going to have pasta with cheese. And he takes out the fleishige pot. You know, they say that there was there are different people who attribute this legend to different Rabbanim, but whichever Rav it was, that there was his Rebbetzin used to, he was a well-known posek in Yoredeya, and his Rebbetzin used to say, stay out of the kitchen with you and your Yoredeya, you always make the kitchen treif. So this might sound treif to many people, but the halacha would be, according to Chacham Avadya, not only mutar la'achlam b'kutach, if you cooked bidiavad the pasta with in a fleishik dish, but rather lichatchila, honey, he says, I'm going to make supper tonight. And he then says, I am going to make pasta with cheese. And she sees him taking out the milk, the fleishik pot. So she says to him, honey, that's fleishiks. So he feasts svardik, and he follows the position of Chacham Avadya, the halacha would be, you could say, according to Chacham Avadya, it is mutter. For Ashkenazim, it's going to be usur for two reasons. One reason is the reason that we just mentioned, that this din is only bidyeved, and the Shach argues even the Mechaber holds that way. And the next reason it's going to be problematic for Ashkenazim is due to the following. Let's continue on and see in the source sheet that Rav Shorsh shared with us, see if Beis in the Ramah. Let's take a look at the Ramah. The Ramah says, V'yesh machmirim bitzliya ubebishul, lesser nat barnat. We follow the position that nat barnat only applies when you're not cooking or you're not roasting. Remember, what was the language of the Gemara? The language of the Gemara was dogim she'alu bika'ara. The Gemara described fish that was placed on a dish. One of them was hot. According to halacha, there's a transfer of tam when one of the two are hot. Now, what transfers tam more poignantly? When you have a piece of fish that is sitting on top of a cold dish, or when fish is cooked in a pot on the fire with hot water? Says the Sefer HaTrumos that the Ramah follows, the Gemara did not say that cooking is going to be acceptable. The Gemara did not say that that would be acceptable. The Gemara only said that you could put the fish on top of a dish. If that's so, says the Sefer HaTruma. This is the Shita also, as you see in your Ramah, you might have this in the brackets, that this is the Shita of what the Rivan, a son-in-law, quoted from his father-in-law, the son-in-law quoted from Rashi. And that is that the halacha would not apply for Ashkenazim when it comes to the cooking of the pasta. So now let's go back to the husband, the posek, who's trafing up his wife's kitchen. So he pulls out the milchiga pot. And when he pulls out the milchiga, we were talking about fleishigs. So he pulls out the fleishiga pot to cook pasta. Okay. So if he's a Sfardik Rav who follows Chacham Avadia, that's okay. He's an Ashkenazic individual. And now he wants to know, could he cook the pasta to mix it with cheese? So the answer is definitely not for Ashkenazim. He's not going to be able to cook the pasta and then eat it with the cheese because that's not even called not bar nat. Hence, the Ramah continues, and he says, "V'haminag lesar lechatchila." The minig is to prohibit it lechatchila. That one would not be allowed to cook it, the pasta, with the intention to mix it with cheese. But that is not really only an Ashkenazic position. The Pri Chadash says that even the Mechaber would agree with that. The Mechaber holds that you're not allowed to cook the pasta, the Pri Chadash says, with the intention to cook it, to mix it with milk, with cheese. But more than that, according to the Ramah, not only is one not allowed to cook the pasta with the intention to eat it with cheese, what happens if you already cook the pasta? In other words, the husband is helping out at home and he's cooking, he's preparing pasta for supper. And now he's cooked the pasta in a fleishig pot. So this is what we would call fleishig pasta. Now, one of the kids decides that he wants to eat it with cheese. Is that mutter? So here is where we have two divergent approaches in this, from the perspective of the Shulchan Aruch and the perspective of the Ramah. From the perspective of the Shulchan Aruch, that is the paradigm of Dagim She'alu B'Ka'ara. It doesn't matter whether the fish has been placed on a dish or whether the fish has been cooked in a pot. In such a situation that it happened, mutter l'achlam b'kutach, in such a case, you're allowed to eat it with milchiks. However, the Ramah is of the opinion as follows. The Ramah says that no, the case of the Gemara was only talking about where you had fish that was hot being placed on a cold plate or vice versa. You had a hot plate and fish that's cold. The pasta, if it's placed on a fleishik dish, then in such a case, it could be eaten with a kutach, with milchiks. But if when it's cooked, then it's going to be aser. So bottom line, here we have a few of our examples that I started out with already, gepaskent, if you will, in front of us. The first case we had discussed was pasta cooked in a fleishig pot. Can I mix it with cheese? The answer to that question is it depends on whether you are an individual who follows the psak of the Mechaber or you follow the Ramah. If you follow the Mechaber, so then in such a case, pasta cooked in a fleishig pot is identical to dagum she'alu b'ka'ara. And as Jacob pointed out in the chat in his question, that is exactly mutter la'achlam b'kutach, that it's lichatchila, you're allowed to eat it according to the Mechaber. However, according to the position of the Ramah says that is not a separate nesinas tam. You can't call this not bar nat. And the reason for that is when the pasta, this is the pasta, was cooked in the pot, that is considered the actual tam of the pot itself. And just like you would not be able to eat cheese that is cooked in this pot, so too you can't take the pasta and then mix it with the cheese because it's identical to the pot itself. However, according to the Mechaber, it's the same thing and therefore mutter. Now is the second question that we asked. We're ready to paskin on that one as well. Hot pasta placed on a cold dish, which was mixed with cheese, am I allowed to eat that with milk? So it was put on a fleishig dish and then mixed with cheese. And the answer to that question is it's mutter l'kulei alma. That would be the case of not bar not. That's a case we're no longer in Dr. Seuss's rhymes of fish in a dish. Pasta doesn't rhyme with dish, but we have the exact same case. You've got hot pasta on a dish. That's the same thing as the fish on top of the dish. In such a case, that's one nesinas tam. And then when it's given and placed into the cheese, that would be mutter as well if it happened b'dieved. L'chatchila, in such a case, so here we have the following distinction. When it comes to the position of the Ramah, that the Ramah says that you're not allowed to cook, there the Ramah said cooking is not considered a separate nesinas tam. And therefore, you cook pasta, you're not allowed to mix it with cheese. That's the bottom line. What happens, though, if it was already mixed with cheese? So here, take a look again at your source sheets, where the Rama writes, continues at the end of Sif, at the beginning of Sif Beis, the Rama says, "Ubidyeved mutter bechol inyan." Bidyavad, if it happened that you cooked the food, the pasta, and it was already mixed with cheese. In other words, the husband, the shlemazel, cooked the pasta in the fleishig pot. He didn't realize it was a fleishig pot. He then mixes it with cheese. Then in such a case, bidyeved is mutter b'chol inyan. What does bidyeved mean? It's already been mixed with the cheese. Once it's already been mixed with the cheese, so then in such a case, we could follow the lenient opinion. The lenient opinion who says that bishul is also considered a separate nesinas tam. And therefore, once it's already happened, then we follow the normative opinion of most Rishonim who say that cooking is considered a separate nesinas tam. L'chatchila we're machmir. What does l'chatchila mean? L'chatchila means two things. Number one, you don't cook pasta in a fleishig pot with the intention to mix it with cheese. Number two, according to the Rama, even if you already cooked it in the fleishig pot, the halacha would be that you're not supposed to put it with cheese. But if what's happened is it already took place, that it was already mixed with the cheese, then the halacha would say that the food could be eaten. The halacha is that the food is going to be permissible. Okay, so that's in regards to the rules of not bar not. We're about to move on from this Mechaber and Rama. If there are any questions on this, you could feel free to post, and I will, Bli Neder, come back to it. These halachos will also explain something else that you might be wondering about. And that is the following. Have you ever heard about double covering? That when you go, many of us have encountered it in catered food, on airline food. Sometimes almost impossible to open your food on the airplane that has a cover and then another cover. And there's an expression that's used that sometimes halacha requires a double covering. What is that double covering? Why is it required? And how much do you need to cover if your oven has zeya? If your oven has been cooked what was cooked inside or baked inside the oven was fleishiks. And then what you did was you wanted to use that oven for milchiks. There are many people that say that in such a case, you need to cover the food. Now, there is a big discussion about Zeya. We could discuss that another time. But let's follow those opinions that say that once fleishiks has been cooked in an oven, that the halacha is that one needs to cover it, the milchiks, in order to cook inside of the oven. Do you need to double cover in such a case? So that question really brings us to a fascinating exception to the rule that we've learned. We have learned not bar not is mutter, but there is an important exception to the rule of not bar not being mutter. And that is what we call not bar not di isura. That if you have two nesinas tams of isur, so then we're still machmir. And let me give you the example. The exact same case that we've been talking up until now about fish on a dish, but up until now, this dish has been fleishiks. What if this dish is not kosher? So then in such a case, even if you have fish that was cooked inside, and that fish was then cooked with something else, then normally we would say that the taste is too far removed. But when it comes to Isur, the Ran writes that the Isur is still significant and it is stronger than the Chalav, than the Milchiks that's mixed with the Fleishiks. And therefore, not Barnat the Isura is Asur. In other words, all of that Terim that we've had up until now is only when we're talking about mixing meat and milk together. But if we were talking about an Isur, so then in such a case, not Barnat the Isura is Asur. So now we can understand why on airline food we have that very frustrating cellophane wrap before we get to the cover. The concern is as follows. Here, I'll dramatize it. Here I have one cover, and here's the second cover. If we're talking about a non-kosher oven, in other words, there's concern that food that is not kosher and its zeya, its sweat, has fallen onto the pot, that's kosher food. So here we would have not bar not. We would have the zeya that comes into the pot, which then goes into the food. So there you could argue that it's not bar not. But the problem is that we're machmir on not bar not the isura. So therefore, on airline food, we have a double cover. The zeya that comes down is going to fall onto it, which is then going to fall onto this. And by the time it gets to the second one, then it's going to be entirely negligible. Since it's going to be negligible, then in such a case, it's mutter. In contrast to the Jewish home, the Jewish kitchen's oven. The Jewish kitchen's oven, we're not concerned about fleishiks being on top of the oven. What we're concerned about is the milchiks mixing with the fleishiks. In our case, we're talking about that the oven had just been used for fleishiks, and now we're concerned that the zeya is going to fall onto the dish that is cooking with the milchiks. So then, okay, as long as it doesn't fall directly inside, but it falls on a cover, so then we have not bar not de'atera. It's true that after it falls onto the cover, it will fall into here, and that will be not bar not, but that's not bar not de'atera, and everything is going to be mutter. So that's why we have double coverings when it comes to when you have concerns of non-kosher food versus when it comes to cooking in an oven, if there's concern of mixing milchiks and fleishiks, so then in such an instance, that's going to be enough. Okay, with that background to not bar not, we're ready now to go to the next area, and that was the area of Dover Harif. And with these rules, we're going to have be able to take care of almost every case that almost all, many, many cases that come up in a kitchen. Our third case that we started with was a Ben Yomo knife, a knife that's been used for within 24 hours that cut onions and then was cooked, then cooked milchiks. Now, the reason why we teach these two topics together, Nat Barnat and Davar Harif, is because Davar Harif is the wild card. It is the variable that undermines Nat Barnat. Ostensibly, the knife that cut the onion had tam. So here, I've got a knife over here in my office. Here we have a knife. This knife was fleishiks. Let's make believe that this is an onion. So my knife cuts an onion. So there are already two nesinas tams. One nesinas tam into the onion. The second from the knife, excuse me, one nesinas tam into the knife, because this knife was fleishiks. The second into the onion. So this onion should be not barnat. If it's not barnat, so then the halacha should be that even if it's cooked with milchiks, bidiavad, the halacha should be that should be okay. However, here we have, the Gemara tells us immediately, subsequent to the Gemara of Nat Barnat, on the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph on the base, the Gemara says the halacha is that this onion is considered entirely fleishiks, because a Dover Harif is not considered a separate Nesinas Tam. So from this Gemara, what we learn is the antithesis, if you will, of Nat Barnat. The way I describe it is that Dover Harif is the wild card in Hilchos Kashrus. In almost all instances, the rules that we learned about Nat Barnat have taken care of almost every instance in Kashrus. But once you have something that is considered sharp, we don't have enough time today to discuss what qualifies as a Dover Harif. We could do that another time. When it comes to the Dover Harif, this is considered meat itself. And since it's considered meat itself, the halacha is that if it's been cooked with milchiks, then unfortunately we have treif. That is the most important rule about Dover Harif. That everybody agrees with. If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Sadi Vav that you have in the source sheet, you'll see described what I just mentioned. However, there's one more stringency, which is up to a fascinating debate. And that is, what happens if this knife has not been used for 24 hours? Of course, we know that all of Hilchos Kashrus is dependent on the tam, the taste, being halachically significant. And the Gemara uses the term that something that's eina ben yomo is no same tam lefgam. It gives off negative taste. And therefore, the halacha is that if you cook in an eina ben yomo pot, if that pot, let's say, was treif, the food is still considered kosher. If you cooked in an eino ben yomo pat milchiks, the food is still going to be considered kosher. What happens if you have a dover harif that's cut by an eino ben yomo knife? So now, let's take a look at the language of the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Sadi Vav. With this example, we'll have touched on all of the most important instances of Nat Barnat in Halacha. Says the Mechaber in Sadi Vav Aleph, in your source sheet, Silka Shechotchem B'Sakin Shel Basar Ben Yomo. The Mechaber says that Dover Harif undermines Nat Barnat. And therefore, if the onion is cut by that knife, so then in such a case, the halacha would be that the onion is considered entirely fleishiks. But what if it's an eina ben yomo? So here, We have no information from the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin does not describe at all what the halacha is in regards to Einam Ben Yomam. And the Mechaber tells us that the halacha is that it's not Barnat is undermined when you have a Davar Charif. That's already a Chiddush. That's already Davar Charif as being the wild card of Hilchos Kashrus. But then the Mechaber goes on, and this is how the Ramah rules. V'yesh omrim tuhu adin la'ena ben yomo. The same halacha would apply also to an ena ben yomo. In other words, if the knife that is cutting, this knife is an ena ben yomo, which normally in Hilchos Kashrus means that its effect is insignificant, if it cuts the onion, so then according to this opinion, the halacha would be that the onion is now considered flesh mamish. It's considered fleshix. Where does that come from? It's not found in Chulin. It comes from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamites. The Gemara describes chiltus. Chiltus was a very powerful spice that was used in those days. Chiltus could take a Gentile's knife and even though the knife wasn't used for 24 hours, the tam is pogum, nevertheless, mechalia l'shevach. The chiltus is so powerful that it turns it into shevach, that taste into shevach. And therefore, the Rama, who follows the second opinion of the Mechaber, Mechaber says, v'yesh omrim du adin le'ena ben yomo, therefore for Ashkenazim, the onion becomes even more dangerous. Because the onion, not only does it undermine the halacha of not barnat, it also undermines the halacha of no sein tam lefgam. And in the words of the Shach, it's considered like meat itself. And therefore, if it's cooked with milchix, it's considered as if you had fleshix that was cooked with milchix. There are, however, reasons that you should ask the Rav, a Shaila, if such a thing occurs. And the reason for that is there are many opinions who are makel in cases of Eina Ben Yomo. The Mishkanus Yaakov in his Tshuvas points out that it's not so simple at all that the rule of Chiltus that is mentioned in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah should be applied to the instance of a tznon, a radish, and for that matter, what's most common for us, an onion. Mishnah Yaakov has a very poignant point. The Gemara in Chulin, Akuf Yud Aleph on the base, had the opportunity when it was talking about not barnat and the antithesis of the rules of not barnat and mentioned particularly Davar Charif, the Gemara had an opportunity at that time to tell us that this rule of Davar Charif applies even by an Ena Ben Yomo. The Gemara doesn't say that. Why not? So Mishkanus Yaakov conjectures that the reason why the Gemara didn't say it is because Chiltus is different. The Gemara spoke about a tznon. If one takes a look at the Sefer Chochmas Adam, the Chochmas Adam spells out that there are many different levels of Davar Charif. And Chiltus is clearly, there are a couple other places in Shas where Chiltus is the most powerful spice that exists. So Mishkanus Yaakov paskins l'kula. He says that he thinks that you should follow the stam in the Shulchan Aruch. That, combined with the fact that there are opinions like the Beis Meir, who are lenient in a case of a knife that is normally used for cutting and not for heat. Therefore, it's only used for cold and not for hot, where in general, the transfer of tam is insignificant. Combined, he says, with the opinions that say that you could be makel on an Eina Ben Yomo in general, and only machmir on a Ben Yomo for Davar Charif, combining those opinions of the Beis Meir and the Mishkanus Yaakov, there are many opinions that can, in many instances, where Rabbanim would be lenient. Obviously, a Shaila should be asked because a simple reading of the Ramah and the Shach is to be machmir, but one could be lenient as well. So let's review. We have a couple minutes to wrap up. Let's review the four questions that we had and see that we've gone through some of the basic rules of kashrus and bring it back to the kitchen. To repeat, pasta that was cooked in a fleishig pot, the halacha is that one cannot lichatchila cook it in a pot with the intention to mix with cheese, both according to the Mechaber and the Ramah, except for the opinion of Chacham Avadia. That is based on the idea that not barnat is only mutter bidi avad, if you already cooked the pasta with in the pot. However, lichatchila can't be done. Case number two that we had introduced was hot pasta that was placed on a cold fleishige dish and then was mixed with cheese. That is the classic case of not barnat that we learned. Two different nesinos tans. Bidiavad, it was already mixed with cheese. The halacha is that it is going to be mutter. Where Ashkenazim, according to the Shach, have to be machmir, is not only in a case of where an individual wants to know if they could cook pasta and then eat it with cheese, but they would have to be machmir as well if the pasta was already cooked in a pot. In such a case, it should not be mixed with cheese, lechatchila. According to the Mechaber, in such a case, that would be mutter. We saw that even though we have a heter of not barnat, there's an exception of not barnat the Isura. And then we saw that another exception of not barnat is the rule of davar charif. And that is that if a ben yomo knife cuts onions, the onions that are mixed with a milchige food is considered as if milchige food was mixed. Milchige food was mixed with meat. The onions are considered as meat. However, if there's a non-ben yomo knife, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that there are times that something that is sharp could create mechalya l'shevach. However, that description of mechalya l'shevach, the question is whether that applies only to achiltus or to all other forms of davar charif. And here, the Ramah seems to be machmir, but in a case of need, a rav should be consulted. Looking forward to continue to learn Torah, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh with you, and may be zocheh to fulfill all of the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.